Mary Ruth Pullig is being interviewed as a member of the Women's Overseas Service League in San Antonio, Texas. Ruth Stewart is interviewing. Mary Ruth, tell us a bit about yourself.
Well, I have a long, wonderful history. I was born in Stamps, Arkansas, on the date which he just gave. Lived there until I was 3 years old, and then we moved to Minden, Louisiana, where I went to elementary school and went to some of the high schools at Calhoun, Louisiana, and finished in Jonesboro, Louisiana. I went into nursing school in 1937 at Shreveport Charity Hospital. It is not run by the nuns. There's a massive amount of people. One of the funny things that happened while I was working in the emergency room, there was an old truck came up the road just a-chuggling along, and when we got out there, there was a lady in the back about to have a baby. But she did have it, and she had old, long old bloomers, and that poor little baby was kicking around in them old bloomers till we could get him out. That was funny to me, but it was exciting at the time. And then I had very good assignments there. I worked in the tumor clinic and met some very nice and very sick people then. Worked with two very good doctors at that time. Also, the friends with whose class I was in was very supportive, and we had a lot of fun together. And I also worked in the kitchen for the night thing, and I would borrow a pound of bacon and take it home in my uniform so we could fry it in the quarters and have the bacon sandwich. Then, let's see, from there, I worked there in the emergency room after I graduated for a while. And then I went to the Lady of the Lake in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and was a night supervisor. And I had a nun that was absolutely fantastic. She was there when Huey Long was shot, and she got all the policemen out of that hospital, get out here, we gotta take care of this man. And she did me the same way. Now you go do this, you go do that, you go do the other thing. Now you're through with that, go put your head down on the table and sleep, and I'll wake you up in 5 minutes. So that was a very nice assignment. And then the situation about the war came up, and I decided I wanted to go into the military. I took my entrance in at Fitzsimmons Army Hospital in Colorado, and then went from where to where. I don't know, cut it off for a minute.
entered the Army Nurse Corps at Fitzsimmons, is that it?
No, in Baton Rouge.
In Baton Rouge?
No, take it back. Came to Fort Sam Houston and entered it in Fort Sam Houston.
So that's where you entered,
yeah,
was
that's
it
where
Fort
I entered,
Sam Houston?
But was never assigned to Fort Sam Houston. I went from there to Denver, to Fitzsimmons. And as I said, you cut it off for a minute and collect myself. General Nurse Corps in Fitzsimmons, and mostly on the medical and pulmonary ward, and learned with some very good friends how to bowl, and I had a very good time bowling with that. And from Fitzsimmons, I had several beautiful assignments in the United States. One of which I enjoyed most was West Point. And when I went in to meet the good general, I was trying to salute him, and he reached up and grabbed my hand and said, "Welcome to West Point." And you guess it was Mr. I can't even think of the man's name at this point, but he was a beautiful general. And there I worked as an Army health nurse. And we had a beautiful little school. Westmoreland was the general who shook my hand. And the little children there were just absolutely great. We did testing, hearing, eyes, physical testing, and we did give some shots. In the Well Baby Clinic, we gave shots at that time also. And then I had another very beautiful assignment in Hawaii. I was there 3 wonderful years as a community health nurse. It had changed its title by that time. And I had 5 nice young nurses that were just very good, one of whom is now in our WSL unit, Catherine Rhinelander O'Neill. So.
Mm-hmm.
And she was really very good. We taught classes for the pregnant ladies and gentlemen. And one of the funny things One of the men said, "My wife is not going to breastfeed because those are mine." I said, we all got a good laugh out of that. I said, he added a lot to that particular class. And did lots of traveling there. We'd go out to the recreation center, we'd get a cabin, and just a bunch of us when we had time on a weekend. We swam, and I learned to snorkel there, but never did learn to dive. Almost choked myself to death because there was pretty fish down there, and I ducked my head down to snorkel all across. So after coughing for a little while, I resumed myself. And then I had Fitzsimmons at New Jersey. Not Tony Fitzsimmons at New Jersey. What is that one? Oh, anyway, already forgotten that name, but in New Jersey. And that was another very good assignment. In fact, I have had all good assignments, have enjoyed them, run into some rough spots. Boy, when we went to the Pacific, I've got to tell you this one. We had to get down on the rope to get into the little boats to go to shore. And one of our very best friends froze on the ropes. So another friend and I went up, hands around her and on the rope, and one foot walked her down that rope. And we just had a good time doing it because we laughed like crazy. The little lady was very thankful that she got down off of the ropes. And we went into Cebu at D28 hours. And we would do in the trenches when the guys would come over, but we'd be sitting on our helmets like stoops, watching the flyover. And then when you went to the shower, you couldn't do it except at certain hours. And when you went in, the man was outside, and I said, "Well, I've got my leggings on." And he says, "It's too late for you to be showering. Get out of there."
And where was this?
In New Guinea. And it's just kind of hard to keep up because I did have such great fun. I jumped from Hawaii to New Guinea, didn't I? But anyway, let me see. Well, let me see here. Where did I serve? One place it tells me where I served.
Oh. When you were in New Guinea, what were your living conditions?
Poor. Very, very poor. We were tents. We did have some wooden floors put into them, and you slept under the mosquito net. And we were good buddies with the enlisted people, so they built us a swing out of a box on the frame between the two tents so we could sit out there and have a good time. We did our laundry in a stream that was down below there for quite a long period of time. And there a whole bunch of us got blistered, not just burned, but just plain blistered, because we were swimming while we were washing our fatigues in there. We did have the mess kits, which we used, and had pretty good food most of the time. Sometimes it was just one vegetable for a week, like cabbage for a week, because it didn't come in. We were lucky enough to be friends with some Air Force people, and they would come over and pick us up, and we'd go have a fine meal over at the Air Force. And the young gentleman, which I was with, was only 6'4", and my nose came about to his belt. But we had a lot of fun dancing anyway, and we just had a lot of fun with each other. So we see.
What other recreation did you have?
Over there, you just kind of made your own. You know, you could play cards, or you could play badminton. You had badminton stuff. I was not a very good basketball player, but we could swim. But that was another nice experience. I got caught in tide wave one time. I was pretty tired when I got back to enough sand to grab onto to get onto the coast. So I just thanked the good Lord for that one. Yeah, but we stuck together pretty good, you know. Oh, over there, you couldn't go any place without two of you. And you had to have a driver that had a gun. And my little friend lost her brother, so we would go to the novena, and I'd go with her. And she was a very lovely lady. She was my chief nurse, by the way. And of all of the wonderful things I've done, my mind is going a little bit blank at this point. I went to see in Germany, at Landstuhl, Second General Hospital. I again was there a community health nurse. And there you get to see all of the families. And all of them were not so upstairs, you know, but you could kind of help them out and enjoy that very much. And then they would be sure that they got the babies to the clinic for their checkups. And the little girls, some young ladies, pardon me, would have to have some just kind of serious talking sometimes. And we did that. And it was accepted. That was good. I had only one family that rejected me. And I was sick for a week after that. It just happens that way sometimes. Mm-hmm. And let's see, I got my master's at North Carolina.
Is this part of the Army?
Mm-hmm.
The Army sent you back from Germany to the U.S.?
Mm-hmm.
And
yes.
And that's when you applied for school?
Yeah. University of North Carolina in Chapel Hill.
And that was for a master's?
Mm-hmm.
Where had you gotten your bachelor's?
In Galveston.
When was that?
That was earlier. That was before the 40s.
Was that in the military?
No.
That was before you went into the military.
Well, I'll take it back. Part of it was reserve. I was working at McKinney Hospital, and this friend and I went to the University of Texas in Galveston for our BS. And she had a bird, and that bird ate up her term paper. So we had a great time putting that back together. And we often went down to the coast at night to saw all these people out in there with flashlights. Wait a minute. I said, my goodness, somebody has drowned for surely. So we got hold of one of the men. He says, oh, no, we're just fishing for flounder. You see them at night. We would fish and try to throw the hook out. The old gulls would get our bait before we got into the water. Oh, my, I'm jumping around like crazy.
When was it you went to UNC? What era?
I am sorry, Bruce, I can't bring that up right at the moment.
It was after World War II or before?
No, it was before World War II.
So it was sometime in the 40s.
Mm-hmm. Late 40s, I would say.
Okay. That's good enough.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And in Germany, we did an awful lot of traveling. We went up to Mr. Hitler's hideout. And these all were on tours. You didn't go by yourself to those mm-hmm. places. Mm-hmm. And we had a very good time there. I've got to tell you a little funny. I thought when I was going to France, oh me, I'm going to get some culture. Well, on the way from the airport to the hospital, the two buses were stopped on the sides. Ladies was on one side and men was on the other, and the steam was arising from the urination. I said, culture? I'm not sure I really am getting culture. But it was a fun assignment anyway. Heaven's sake, Ruth, doesn't run out of steam. Can we turn them off again?
You've had a lot of assignments then covering a lot of the Pacific as well as a lot of the U.S.
I think the most in the Pacific, we had the Philippines, New Guinea, and I said we went into Leyte at Cebu at 28 hours. So we went in under fire, but we were okay, no real problem.
Where were you taking care of combatants as casualties?
And family, uh-huh. And when I went over the Pacific, I was just a plain old nurse. I got to be an Army health nurse later, so mm-hmm. that was that. Mm-hmm. But we had the people that the Japanese had wounded, one little girl, they had sliced her across the back shoulders. So both little arms were they were there, but she couldn't use them. Sweetest little thing you ever saw. She just had a lot of courage and a lot of guts. And the nuns and the priest all moved into the same place. And the priest was walking around, he stepped on one of the kids' skates and fell and broke his arm. And he came to the hospital and got it all fixed, and he came back later to see some of his family members, and his hand was hanging down, you know, almost to his hip. And I caught him around the neck. I said, Father, you don't wear your head down here. You get your arm up here in the sling and cross your cedar chest. He looked at me and said, I think that's the only time I've ever had a woman to hug me. But you know, that kind of thing made it easy. You didn't have to be crazy, but it helped a little bit. And you got into a lot of things you probably shouldn't have gotten into. But that's just the way things were at that time. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, while I was in New Guinea, they decided to perm my hair. My sister sent me the solution and what have you, and they got it all down, and with the old brown turban they wrapped it up in, and my hair turned as green as grass. It took it a little while to grow out, but it made it. Did they ever laugh at me about that? I said, well, you did it to me, so that's the other thing on that. Oh my. Mm-hmm. But I could never have done, seen, and been to the places that I was able to go to without the military. And I'm very thankful for that. And it's been very good to me.
When you were overseas, how did you keep in touch with your family and friends?
You wrote, and they sometimes would, they would all look at all your letters and cut out things that you couldn't send home. And we were told what we couldn't send home. But sometimes you would refer to something that would do it, and they just cut that out. So the family got a big fun out of the skip space and go to another thing. Oh, my sister sent me a Christmas cake, fruit cake. We were excited to get into it. Well, it was all moldy, because it takes it forever to get over there. But we didn't eat the fruit cake, but we ate the cookies and got along with that pretty well. My sister was very attentive to me about sending little things like that.
So how long were you in the service overall?
32 years.
32 years.
Mm-hmm.
So you
From
had a really long...
I got out in 46, but I retired and went back into the military when Pearl Harbor was hit. And I was at West Point when the Pearl Harbor was hit, and I went right on in. Ask me something else, I'm out of... And while I was at West Point, I had emergency surgery for the appendix. And when I woke up, I had a beautiful little doll in my arm. And I still have the little doll. But the Methodist says, Mary, if you ever have this again, tell them that you swallow your tongue. And I said, okay. I've not had any more surgery since then. Mary Cavernera did it, by the way.
Okay. Are there other events, either poignant or humorous, that you recall at this point?
Most of my life was. Well, we did have a pretty good relationship with the enlisted people. So when we got our liquor rations, they got our rations, and they fed us good with whatever fruit they could get from anyway. So it was a swap fair thing. The officer said, well, you give it to us. I said, no, these guys have been good to us, so we just give our rations to them. Mm-hmm. And by that, there was tent mates. You know, you had tent mates. That was the other thing on that. Okay. Oh, my. Thought I would never win. Of course, it's been my whole life, actually. And I've only lost one real close nurse friend by death. And I have several that I still keep up with, and they're in the same old shape that I am. The legs don't work, the bones hurt, and all that kind of stuff. But it was really kind of hard.
Are any of them around here?
No. I take it back. Blackie and Mary Black and Doris Kelcani and the names are leaving. Some of them live right here in this. Mary Ballard. Yes, I have to go back to another subject while we were at Port Sam in that big fancy class we had. We had a Canadian that was in our class, and she was known as Tex. And with our activities, we got she and another male classmate into the Fiesta Parade. And later, a general came to me and said, you all really won the first place. I said, we had promised such a company down there that they could have it. So we were in second place in that. And they both looked very well on those floats, very well. And, when General Dunlap's class would come in, we'd start whistling the Curl Burning Bogey March. Until she passed away, she remembers that. In fact, when she signed my book, she said, do you all remember what you used to do, 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 do? That we really did.
Why was that?
That was early in the game. That was before I went into overseas or anything. was probably in that training period.
So you were in the Health Service Command, is that it, assigned?
Army Nurse Corps.
That's where you, that, okay, at Fort Sam. That's part of that.
Health Science, you're right, Health Science.
Mm-hmm.
And Ruth, I'm drawing a blank. You better shut it off for a minute. If I was in the Guinea area, we had some friends from another outfit that could fly a little plane. So we flew over Midway Island and we got shot at, but we didn't get hurt. The plane had a hole in it, but that was all. But that was kind of exciting.
I guess.
Things just turn up and you just do things and it just happens. I don't do as much things as a lot of people do, but anyway, I had fun, I enjoyed it, and I think I contributed. I wanted to, very badly.
Have you joined any veterans organizations since you've been out of the service?
Yes, I belong to VFW, American Legion. The retired officers. They're not now, that's it. M.O., Military Order Officers, something or other. M.O., anyway, whatever, can't remember right now.
Is that M.O.M.U.?
Yes. And T.R.A. and nearly all of them, Ruth, lifetime members. And I've been very happy with what I've gotten with that.
Mm-hmm.
The information that they have shared with us, and I like that. And I try to send it to some of the people who do not belong to some of those organizations so they too can keep up with their military, but they know what's going on, so that's the other thing on that.
Did your experience in the military during all those 30-some years influence the way you look at the military now or the war or wars?
Absolutely. I had always admired that those young men were absolutely fantastic. You got a few of them that were kind of cantankerous and give you a little hard time, but they were good young men. Did not have any attacks or anything like that. In fact, my enlisted people when they were in Hawaii were very, very good. In fact, I had a driver who took me to places where I had to go, and he would not go through certain parts of town. So I was very well protected, and I appreciated that. In France, too, I had a driver. And when I needed to get my hair done, couldn't speak French, but he'd pull his hair and drive me to the beauty shop and tell me I'll be back in 30 or 40 minutes. So got along that way pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
But we'd go to families there. You had to kind of go out into the country, and he'd be the one that would take me. Got the same one all the time, thank goodness. Ask me something else.
Well, I was just wondering if there was anything else you wanted as we bring this to a close. Is there anything you'd like to add in terms of your memories or just your comments?
I want to thank the good Lord for a good blessing and a good, interesting contact with a lot of beautiful people, military and civilians. And I'm very thankful that I can at least sit up and take nourishment, even though the old body is getting kind of tired and the seams are coming open and the sawdust is kind of falling out. But other than that, I'm doing okay.
Well, thank you very, very much, Mary Ruth, for this interview.
Thank you, Ruth. I said another part of my first life. I lost my mother when I was 8 years old, and I lost my father when I was 16 years old. And I still remember both of them, and I would have rather any time my father had whipped me instead of sitting me down and making me talk to him. That was the hardest part about my corrections at that time, but he did it. He did. Had very good relationships with him. I had a lovely relationship with my mother, but not enough time to really be with her at that point. But she was a lovely lady. About my father, when we would go to Arkansas to see his mother, there was an old bridge that had the planks kind of up in a little V all over it, and he would let me lean over the back and pull the spark plug down and go bumping across the bridge. My mother went there. My sister said, "Stop that!" I said, "I'd love to do this bumping," and I'd sit in the back seat and balance around. But he was a good guy. Yep.